Okay, let's unpack this. We are looking deep into, well, the central tension driving global aviation right now. You've got record, often desperate demand for air travel clashing head-on with a persistent, crippling supply chain crisis. And this bottleneck, it's not just a short-term thing. The industry fully expects it to last well into 2025.
Yeah, it's a strange situation, isn't it? The ultimate paradox.
Yeah.
Airlines have these packed planes, full order books, but they're constantly scrambling just to keep their schedules flying. They just don't have enough aircraft. And getting the spare parts they need for, even routine maintenance, it's becoming incredibly difficult.
Exactly. So for this deep dive, we're pulling from major industry outlooks, specialized maintenance reports. Our goal is really to get you up to speed quickly on the sheer scale of this problem. We'll hit the key stats and then pivot. Pivot to the ingenious tactical solutions the maintenance sector is deploying, like right now, just to keep planes safely flying and hopefully limit the disruption you might face.
And to grasp just how severe this is, we really need to start at the top, with the airlines themselves. Willie Walsh, who heads up IATA, that's the International Air Transport Association, he hasn't minced words about this disruption. He actually calls it a triple whammy.
Triple whammy. Wow, that sounds pretty catastrophic. What are the three areas he's pointing to?
He's saying this supply crisis hits revenues, costs, and environmental performance all at the same time. Revenues take a hit because they just can't fly as much as people want them to. Costs are soaring because planes get stuck on the ground longer. AOG, aircraft on ground, they call it. And their green goals, they're being undermined because they can't bring in those newer, more efficient aircraft fast enough.
Right. Which brings us to the data. And the numbers really do paint a stark picture of the scale here. Let's talk about the fleet itself. It's getting older, isn't it? How much older?
The numbers are startling, honestly. The average age of the global fleet, it's hit a record, 14.8 years. Now, put that in context. The long-term average, say from 1990 to 2024, was around 13.6 years. So that extra year, year plus, it means more maintenance, heavier checks, higher costs, and importantly, higher fuel burn.
Higher maintenance, higher fuel burn, exactly what airlines don't need right now. And this aging problem, it's directly linked to the delivery crisis, I assume.
Oh, absolutely. The pipeline of new planes coming from manufacturers, it's slowed dramatically, almost fallen off a cliff. IATA is estimating only about 12,254 deliveries for 2024. That's a massive 30% shortfall compared to what they were predicting, which was already conservative. And they're already saying the 2025 forecast likely to be revised downwards again. The manufacturers have their own major labor and supply chain headaches.
And the backlog. The number of planes ordered but just not delivered yet, it's huge, isn't it?
It's mind-boggling. 17,000 planes.
17,000.
Yeah, think about that. At the current rate they're delivering them, it would take 14 years to clear that backlog. Before all this disruption, 2013 to 2019, the average fulfillment time was about 6 years. We've more than doubled the waiting time. It's a fundamental breakdown in production capacity.
And this backlog, it feeds right into another big concern. Willie Walsh raised the environmental cost. He specifically called out manufacturers, saying they're letting down airlines. How so?
Because they're basically slowing down the whole industry's transition to a more modern, fuel-efficient fleet. The environmental data makes it crystal clear. Fuel efficiency, if you strip out load factors, basically didn't change between 2023 and 2024. Flat. Zero improvement. And that breaks a long-running trend. For decades, the industry managed, 1.5% to 2% improvements each year just by swapping old planes for new ones. So, yeah, the delivery failure is actively stalling the green progress.
So fewer planes available, the ones flying are older, driving up costs. The market dynamics must be intense. The scramble for whatever capacity is out there, it's pushed costs way up, right?
Through the roof. We're seeing leasing rates for narrow-body jets,
Yeah.
the workhorses like the 737s and A320s, they're now 20% to 30% higher than just back in 2019. These constraints are directly hitting the airline's profitability, eating their lunch, basically.
Okay, so that's the big picture laid out by Willie Walsh and IATA, a structural crisis of capacity of production.
Okay.
But let's shift gears a bit, because this kind of crisis, this panic, it also creates opportunities, right? Opportunities for companies specializing in finding solutions. Who's actually plugging this huge hole in the supply chain right now?
And that takes us neatly into the tactical side, into the asset management world. The key concept here is something called USM, used serviceable material. We looked into companies like Airfin. They specialize in, buying, selling, leasing, repairing aircraft assets.
Yeah.
And their whole goal is to provide a certified supply of this USM, usually at a lower cost than brand new.
Right. And you spoke with Mark Shimizu, their senior VP for EMEA. What did he say about where the pressure points are deepest?
Yeah, he gave some great insights. He confirmed that engine material is by far the biggest driver of demand right now. They're seeing immense pressure on what are called hot section parts, the hottest parts of the engine, and engine LRUs. LRUs are line replaceable units. Think of them as major components you swap out during maintenance checks.
And why are those specific engine parts so hard to find new?
Well, it comes down to production delays and, frankly, high scrap rates for certain new parts. This forces operators to look for certified used parts just to manage the cost of engine shop visits. Mark Shimizu specifically mentioned scarcity in things like CFM high-pressure turbine blades, HPT blades. New production just isn't keeping pace.
I see. And what about LLPs? You mentioned life-limited parts are in high demand, too. Can you quickly explain those?
Sure. LLPs, life-limited parts, are components that have a strict lifespan, as measured in flight hours or flight cycles. They must be replaced after a certain point. So if you buy a used LLP that still has, say, several thousand cycles left on it, you're essentially buying flying time, but you're doing it without paying the huge premium for a brand new part. It's a massive cost-saving tool for airlines trying to manage their engine maintenance budgets.
Makes sense. Okay, beyond the engines, what about the rest of the plane, the airframe? What parts shortages are actually grounding planes?
On the airframe side, it really boils down to dispatch reliability. Can the plane safely leave the gate? If it can't, the airline loses money fast. So the high priority items are those flight critical LRUs, things like avionics computers, hydraulic systems, pneumatic systems, flight control actuators, systems the plane literally cannot fly without.
Okay, that makes sense. But what I found really interesting, almost counterintuitive from the reports, were the shortages he mentioned for less critical items, things like lower failure structural parts or even basic cabin interior bits. Why are those becoming scarce?
Yeah, that's a fascinating ripple effect of this whole crisis.
Yeah.
Because airlines are forced to keep their older planes flying much longer. Remember that 14-year delivery backlog? Fewer aircraft are being retired and torn down for parts. And those teardowns, they're the main source of supply for many structural items and cabin components.
Ah, okay. So because the old planes aren't being scrapped and parted out as often, the supply chain for basic stuff like aluminum skin panels, seats, overhead bins, that's drying up.
Exactly. If an airline needs a specific, maybe less common cabin part or a structural piece that doesn't fail often, they could face huge lead times, maybe even indefinite delays trying to buy it new. Because the secondary market, which used to supply that stuff readily, has shrunk.
Which means companies like Airfin, the asset managers, they can't just sit back and wait for retired planes to come to them anymore. They need to be way more proactive. So how are they managing to actually secure supply in this tight market?
Mark Shimizu really emphasized their strategy here. It's all about acquisition at scale. He stressed that they focus on buying whole assets, entire aircraft, or even small fleets to unlock material in large volumes. They aren't just hunting for one specific engine part here and there.
Can you give an example of that?
Yeah, he mentioned their recent move to acquire a fifth A320neo aircraft, specifically for disassembly over in Asia. It's this ability to operate at the fleet level, to proactively create supply by tearing down assets strategically, that really sets them apart from just waiting for parts to appear on the market.
And it's not just about buying the planes, is it? Repair is a huge part of this. The repair process itself can be a major bottleneck in the MRO world. Maintenance, repair, and overhaul.
Oh, absolutely. Which is why repair management has become so critical for them. They're using their scale and relationships, especially with Tier 1 repair vendors, to launch high-volume repair campaigns. Doing that gives them two big advantages. First, better pricing because of the volume. And second, crucially better turnaround times, TATs. I mean, if you can get a critical part repaired and back in service in 30 days instead of 90, that's a massive competitive edge right now.
It sounds like this aggressive approach, what Shimizu called using the difficulty, is maybe the only viable path forward.
It seems like it. The core idea is to get fresher, durable parts, parts from newer generation aircraft. They're disassembling back into the supply pool much sooner. They're doing this across different plane types, too, A320neo, A330, 777s. It helps reduce their reliance on the traditional OEM supply channels, which, let's face it, are struggling.
And they also have to think globally, right? To deal with issues like engines operating in, say, hot and harsh environments where they degrade faster and need even more maintenance.
Yeah, exactly. Location matters. Part of their mitigation strategy is positioning inventory strategically in global hubs. Think places like Gatwick near London, Miami, Singapore. Having stock closer to where airlines operate helps them support operators locally and really compress those critical lead times. If an airline in Asia needs a part urgently, they're not waiting for it to ship from Europe.
Okay, let's bring this down to ground level. What does it actually look like for passengers for smaller airlines when these part shortages hit?
The sources provided a really stark case study. Blue Islands, they're a regional airline, vital for connecting places like Guernsey and Jersey. It really shows the damaging ripple effect.
What happened with Blue Islands?
Well, they hit a point recently where their on-time performance was just abysmal, only 55% of flights on time. And that's not just a number. That's people missing connections, missing important appointments, business disruption. And this poor performance, it stemmed directly from two supply chain issues. First, one of their ATR-72 turboprops got stuck in maintenance much longer than planned during a lease transition. Parts delays. Second, another engine suffered FOD, foreign object damage.
FOD, like a bird strike.
Could be, yeah. Or runway debris, anything getting sucked into the engine. Mm-hmm. That often requires a major teardown and specific replacement parts. So the combination of that extended maintenance visit and the inability to quickly source a new part for the FOD engine, it effectively crippled essential air services for those communities.
Yeah.
Huge financial cost, massive reputational damage.
Wow, that really puts the cost of a single missing part into sharp perspective. It also underlines why this used serviceable material, USM, is so valuable, even if its own price is going up.
Absolutely. The tight supply has pushed USM prices higher, no doubt. But they still offer significant savings compared to buying brand new parts, assuming you could even get the new parts quickly.
And it's fascinating how this shortage is impacting the value of engines themselves. Even engines with known issues. We're seeing newer engines like the Alip 1A and Pratt & Whitney's PW1100G, the geared turbofan, which has had those well-publicized powdered metal problems, they're actually holding really strong market values.
Yeah, it seems counterintuitive, but it tells you everything about the desperation for capacity. The fact that engines with known reliability concerns are still commanding high values just shows how badly airlines need functioning aircraft now. But maybe even more telling is what's happening with the previous generation engines.
You mean like the CFM56-7B, the engine on the older Boeing 737 NGs?
Exactly those, sort of legacy engines. Their market values and their lease rates have actually climbed above the long-term trend lines recently. Why? Because all the delays and production caps in the new 737 MAX mean airlines are forced to keep flying their older 737 NGs much longer and harder than planned. That creates this huge, unexpected wave of demand for maintenance and parts for those older engines. And the USM market is scrambling to meet it.
Okay, so let's try and synthesize this. We've really looked at two parallel realities today, haven't we? On one side, you have the systemic crisis described by Willie Walsh at IATA, the aging fleet, the crippling delivery backlog, the stall in environmental progress. It's a crisis rooted in manufacturing failures.
Right. And then on the other side, you have these immediate, really aggressive and quite strategic countermoves, led by people like Mark Shimizu at companies such as Airfin. They're essentially innovating outside the traditional supply chains, relying heavily on finding, repairing, and deploying USM, using strategic disassembly to fill the gap the manufacturers currently can't. It's really the maintenance and asset management sector stepping up to manage a global production shortfall.
And for you, the listener, understanding this means you grasp not just why your flight might be delayed or why ticket prices feel high, but also how the industry is fundamentally shifting its approach to keeping planes flying, moving towards asset management and USM to survive these constraints. Knowing about USM is really key to understanding aviation resilience today.
And think about this. The current situation has fundamentally shifted power and value away from guaranteed new parts, which aren't guaranteed to arrive on time anymore, and towards reliable, fast access to certified used material. So it raises a really interesting question for the future, doesn't it? What happens when, eventually, the USM supply chain stabilizes more, and airlines have gotten used to the cost benefits and flexibility of this alternative programmatic approach? Will they ever fully go back to relying solely on OEMs the way they did before? This crisis might permanently change where value is found in aviation maintenance.